Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, let's say what's happening to Schmangs.
Yeah, I'm pretty good, man.
You're good.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Let me see your last 24 hours. Let me go in here.
Yesterday wasn't terribly eventful.
hang on, let's see. Okay, I gotta go down to Mungie on the Snapchat.
But my weekend as a whole was fucking lit.
What'd you get up to, Schmangs?
I went to Hartie's with a couple of mates.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw you were out on the ocean.
It's a big body of water.
Out on the dam there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a listen. Okay, so, oh no, I gotta probably activate that over there. She's not the fastest tool today.
We came here to get pizza so we can go home and watch the game. Look what we bump into. These people are trying to make us have tequila, oh my God, on a Sunday.
Yeah, dude, tune in to Cliff Central in about 2 minutes. I'm out here with my brothers, REA, seen here. Vaughn, not seen here.
But heard over here. What's happening, Mr. Thiel?
I'm good, my brother.
Are you winning?
Yeah, man.
Have
I'm
you
winning,
been snapping?
Bro.
I don't think so.
I snapped today, but you can hey,
let's have a look. I love this. I love going through snaps.
Nice, hey, bro.
Nice. Yo, shout out to everybody that wakes up every morning and does jobs that they fucking hate, man. Because sometimes you gotta do what you don't like so that you can get to where you wanna be. You know what I'm saying? Shit, man, we're all in the same place, bro. We're trying to get somewhere. We're trying to do something that makes us feel good every day of our lives. If you got that right now, then shout out to you too, man. But for those of us who are still hustling, let's go. We live ones, you know, we got to try to do shit that we like, man. Gotta try your hardest. And sometimes you got to do a job you don't like so that after hours you can keep working on stuff you do like. So keep working, man. Yeah. One song on Views that grew on me hella quick. Like, I didn't like it in the beginning, but this one.
Change. It just paused the front gate.
But on a serious note, if any of you guys on my Snapchat don't have Chance the Rapper's new mixtape, you're sleeping on hip-hop.
Just, I don't have Chance the Rapper's new mixtape,
bro, you're sleeping on hip-hop.
I'm sorry, bro.
It's hot.
I feel bad.
It's awesome, bro.
But that's how you got it?
Yeah, it's very good.
It's a masterpiece, man.
Yeah.
Schmangs, I saw you over the weekend speaking about that we don't consume enough new music, and you were exposed to new music or something along those lines, and you were enjoying that process.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, I was, like I said, I went to Hartie's with a couple of friends, and one of them is like, she's got an incredible taste, like, and she was just like showing me new music, like just a whole catalog of new music.
Oh yeah,
Different genres.
Yeah, different genres. I mean, I'd like to think that I'm well versed in the music game, but yeah, man, I just got schooled this past weekend. Yeah, it was very cool, very cool. I think we tend to listen to a lot of things that we enjoy. Obviously, that makes sense, you know.
And
we don't put ourselves out there, you know, and like, unless you are a music person. So I mean, she works at Channel O, so naturally her job entails looking for new music. So
that's a cool job. I am always envious of people that work in music and whose job it is to just find cool music.
It's the most amazing thing in the world, bro.
It's very cool.
But I agree with Schmangs, but like, I've also been exposed to a few different types of genres. Well, it's not really different, as if like I've never wanted to listen to it before.
Yeah.
But you know, like, a few artists that I've stumbled across and people have shown me, it's awesome, bro. It's almost like when you find something new, or when you can do something new, you want to do it all the time. Yeah, it feels like that. You want to hear this music, and it's pretty cool. I think if you are in the entertainment business or anything to do with being creative, I guess opening yourself up to different types of things is cool, because it makes you think in a different way.
I feel the same way when I stumble across a cool series that there's like lots of episodes for that I can just sit and do nothing and watch. I really do.
I
go onto iTunes, I'm looking for cool series. It's not as easy as it used to be, yo. Yeah.
So my thing is that
I want to watch Game of Thrones. I don't care.
Haven't you watched it?
No.
Oh, bro, it's worth
so hectic. I don't want it. It seems hectic.
It is hectic.
Yeah, I see. The thing is, for me, I think I sort of took a backseat the last 2 years. I used to be hugely into finding new music, and I was always like the go-to guy within my like sphere of influence, you know, my friends and shit.
Sure, yeah.
So like, and then I just got tired of that, and I got too busy.
Yeah.
And it's, I know it sounds like an excuse, and also I stopped DJing, like completely stopped DJing. But I want to get back into it again.
Shut up.
And like now I'm just really finding new music, and it's dope.
I'm actually gonna start getting into DJing too.
Nice.
It's a lot harder than I thought. I last year went on a course.
Did it help anything? Tutorials work better, bro.
Why didn't you pursue it?
Well, So I still go for lessons.
There was this really good series this that
is,
came
this
out.
Is, this is the story of Calvin's life.
It's just that it's as far. It's like an hour out of it's like a far, it's far. And also it's not that easy, this DJing thing.
Nah, it's not, bro.
And I get frustrated because I'm like, this is not that easy. How come I'm not just picking this up? And you gotta find the music, and it's not even easy to find music to DJ.
You gotta sort your music according to the
it's a real
and the beats per minute, and it's not as easy. Yeah. So if you ever see me DJing, I'll probably just put a mix on. Probably pretend it.
Shut up.
Okay, listen, let's weigh in on some of Deleuze's baby mama drama, because this has been going on all day.
Damn.
Producer Kat and I have enjoyed watching this unfold. I get to read this tweet again, which makes me excited. Deleuze's baby mama, at Rhea Rockin' Jays, tweets, "Hi, at Missy Roberts XO, I'm just letting you know that at Too Fresh Les is single now, so you can fuck him freely. Maybe you'll upgrade from side hoe. I mean, you had tears in your eyes claiming how much our friendship meant to you. You're just a joke, like my baby daddy. Everyone warned me about you from day one, saying you're using our friendship to be close to Les. All true." That's Maddie's mom that was tweeting her best friend, also the person that Deleuze seems to be hooking up with. I mean, obviously a story like this was going to come out of the Deleuze camp.
Yeah.
But there's social media just to amplify the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Just the way it came out, it comes out, it's just like a bang.
Damn.
Like, you know, I mean, that's like, obviously they were all banging, but this was like a, you know,
yeah.
He hasn't replied. The girlfriend or the mistress, side chick, whatever, hasn't replied. She like blocked her account and subtweeted or whatever. But we're not surprised that this is happening.
Yeah. For me, you know, when it comes to social media, it's not like I filter or center myself in any way, right? I sort of tweet what I want when I want. I Insta what I want. I snap what I want. But I am very conscious of who consumes that content.
Mm.
So I would never, ever, ever, ever do something like that. I just think it's crazy when people put out their dirty laundry out in the streets. And I've just never been a fan, you know. You know, someone has subtweeted me in the past or this or that, or it's just some bullshit thing. And I just call them straight up. Yo, if you got some shit to say, you better say it straight in my face, or give me a call if you got any issues. I have no time for that shit.
I agree, bro.
I have no time. I will block you as a friend. Not block you on Insta or on Twitter. I will block you as a friend if that's your behavior.
You are.
Done. So I just think that's so immature. I mean, I know she's probably hurting or whatever.
Yeah.
I know, you know what I mean? But like, how are you gonna, so what now? Because Deleuze is gonna be like, thank God I kicked it to the curb, crazy bitch.
But she's got a kid though, so it's a little
but I mean, like I agree with Mangs though. I feel like it's almost like this, you know, you get done wrong or shit happens to you, and now you kind of feel like, because that shit happened to you, you almost feel like the person that hurt you's got some sort of power, because they the one who hurt you, and you sitting there all, you know, almost feeling inferior. So how do you get back at them? You obviously go to a public, you know, platform and you try and belittle them in public. But the problem with that, which most people don't see in the moment, is that it actually shines a little bit worse on you.
Yeah.
Because your tweet or your status or whatever it is only as powerful as the power of that lies in the person that you're actually tuning. And if they don't respond, you look worse,
man. Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So it is a moment of like I think it's a hothead and it's a bit of immaturity, maybe, I don't know, but it's not something I would do at all. I'd stay away from dirty laundry and having a go at people on Twitter in a personal capacity. I mean, making jokes is cool, but you know, to that level, it's too much, bro.
Yeah. When I'm emotional or when I'm drunk, I put my phone away.
Now you snap.
Yeah, now I snap. Now I snap. Yeah, now I snap my litmus.
I saw your drunk snaps.
Yeah, now I snap my litmus. But that's cool, because that's just an extension of me. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I stay away from like Twitter or Facebook or any of that shit, because I know I'm probably going to say some dumb shit and we'll be like, why the hell?
I mean, I sometimes, even when crazy shit happens in the world, I try to just take some time before I say anything, because, you know, these days things live on the internet forever, bro. And even if you think you delete that tweet, somebody can snap it, somebody's got a screenshot, somebody's got something, you know, someone's done something to it. So, I mean, you got to think a little bit more before your fingers get too quick.
So here's a question: can one ever really articulate exactly how one is feeling if you're not saying it? Like, how much is there lost in translation when something is written as opposed to said? Because I've always thought that this is what technology's done to us. It's taken out the tone. Like, if I say to you, "Schmangs, that's a really interesting shirt you have on," or I say to you, "Schmangs, that's a really interesting shirt," or "Schmangs, that's a really interesting shirt," the copy remains the same, but the way it's said is completely different. Absolutely. And I think that so much gets lost in translation, which is why I'm nervous to even say what I had for lunch on social media or whatever it is, because the tone, even in texts between different people, so much gets lost. And it's difficult to actually even really express how you feel.
Absolutely. I think ever since WhatsApp and you know, instant messaging has become such a massive part of our daily lives, I bet you if we did a study, you'd probably find there are more breakups ever since there's instant messaging, because of the stuff that gets lost in translation. I'm telling you, because you can't have a fight with someone over WhatsApp. It is impossible. It's almost impossible to have a fight with someone over a phone speaking, you know, if you're emotional. So imagine people on Twitter. I mean, I've seen people try and articulate themselves in about 30 tweets or 20 tweets.
It just doesn't work.
The problem with that is one gets retweeted and it's completely out of context and it gets a million hits, and all of a sudden you're seen as some other devil, but they didn't read the other 23 tweets, you know?
Dude, I have fights with my friends and like the person that I'm like intimate with, whatever, my partner, about exactly that. I'm just like, if there's any issues, fam, hit me up. Call me or like, let's link up for a coffee and we can chat about this thing, because so much, especially in an intimate relationship, you know, you send like a message, it could be a long-winded message, and it's like I might misread one line and lose my shit. Meanwhile, that one line actually isn't even the focal point of, you know, of the message.
Absolutely.
Purely because I can't read tone. Like, I can't detect, like you were saying, I can't detect what tone I'm supposed to read this message in, and that's half of it. I mean, minus putting your dirty laundry out on social media, like baby Deleuze's baby mom.
Yeah, this tone was not being misinterpreted.
Yeah, no, that one was straight up. That was very literal.
Literally what I think. Yeah,
you know. But besides that, I think you can get it like so wrong, and I don't know. That's maybe it's just because we grew up, and I say we, I'd like to think you guys also grew up in an era just before
the 90s.
You know what I mean? Just before there was social media, where, you know, you actually had to interact with people.
Of course, man. Like, you know, I read something the other day. I'm sure you've heard this, because they speak about it a lot in marketing and whatever the case is, about how communication is almost 80% what you don't say. It's like 60
body language. 60,
body language, 60% body language. So, you know, it's these crazy things that we've almost forgotten, and it's all distorted by our technology. And that's exactly what happens. It's misinterpreted online, it's misinterpreted in chats. It's pretty bad, man. And that's why I think it's kind of like our responsibility to keep instant messaging for what it's for. Quick message, bang. Meet you there. What time? You know, like, let's not do too much business over it.
Yeah, some of the stuff I see people, you know, WhatsApp one another about, I look at it. Or some nuts, of the people, if you go into some people's Facebook profiles and you go into their messages, and there's like essays to one another about, like, I think this.
Yo.
I'm thinking, like, how, like, who first of all has the time to
read
sit and write an essay like that? I just don't get it for the life of me.
I told my friend straight up, bro. I was like, dude, if you send me a WhatsApp message that I need to scroll like down to read, you can forget.
Yeah.
You can forget me. You can forget me replying. I can't do that. Don't do that to me. If you're gonna say something, call, let's meet, or let's do something proper.
Send a voice note, something.
Yeah, it's better, dog. Don't.
What if you're in shit with your girlfriend? You better read that.
Hey, bro, you know, and that happens, man. Hey, that happens.
And
to
you
me.
Know, and I don't can't. Know what, but girls like sending long ass messages. Is it like, just me, or is that sexist to say that?
No. I think girls do, because what happens with me is like, we'll have a fight at home or something, or we'll argue about something, and then it's like kind of like it ends, and then it's, and then like a couple of minutes later when I've left, I get a long ass WhatsApp message.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
And I'm like, I was with you 5 minutes though. I was like, I was with you 5 minutes ago.
Kat, yeah, you look like you want to weigh in, because Kat, you look like you could send very long messages.
Yeah.
I have, and I've sent you very long messages when I was pissed off at you. Because first of all, nobody calls
And what do you
anymore.
Get in reply? What do you get?
A thumbs up.
That is like the worst thing.
Oh my God. Ari does it all the time. He'll reply, like, he'll spend 20 minutes typing out a message and then Ari will reply with a thumbs up. Yo, and then I'm like, this guy wants me to kill him.
Ari's a dick.
Yeah, like, sometimes, for me, writing a long message is the only way I can get across what I'm trying to say. If you call me to talk about what the issue is, then I can't get it across in a telephone conversation or even face-to-face.
But that's your problem.
It's always easier to write stuff down for some people.
Okay, fair enough. I guess you have a point.
Yeah, there. And I mean, look, that's what people always say. They say that, oh my, you know, actually, you know, sometimes I want to take time, digest, maybe have a fight. I want to digest the fight and then I want to articulate my feelings. But I'm just like... my brain is wired in a certain way and I really, really cannot handle a long ass messages. Like today I got a message like that and I was just, and I completely like misinterpreted half of it.
Yeah.
Went to this person, we had a chat and I feel a thousand times better now. I'm just like, gosh, that time I thought maybe that like a friendship was about to end.
Yeah.
Legit.
Yeah.
And it turns out actually, you know what, misread this one or two things and it's just about communicating that thing clearly.
It's across the board. I don't do this anymore, but I used to be the worst employee. I actually probably still am one of the worst people to have employed. But I used to get like so niggly on like mail and so like, I don't know, this is what I would get very like work, because I took producer Kat's attitude that in order for me to say everything I want to say, let me write it down. And it's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Sorry, Kat.
Rather write everything down, walk into a meeting, have it written down in front of you and read it to that person. Because 90% of the time, people also only read certain things out of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like if I read a book, I don't remember every line of the book. I'll remember maybe segments. Two or three lines that really popped out at me or that I gravitated towards. It's the same way I read an article online. I'll like look, skim through the thing or whatever. So no one's... You sit there and you craft this whole thing and you think, oh, the person who's going to read it, they're going to see that sentence and they're going to know that I made that reference there and that... And they don't. They just skim over the thing.
Yeah.
So just keep it short and it, as hard as it is, and it's so hard to actually have conversations with people sometimes, especially if you feel emotional about the thing, but it's just honestly, I think, is always the better option. The letter and the this, and it's just I don't think is the right way to go.
At least I
haven't found that it's worked for me in the past.
Never. Not once.
I agree. I think it's, you can get a lot more across when you actually speak and you're in each other's presence.
Provided everyone wants to listen. Provided it's not like a Real Housewives setup where it's just people throwing in their voices. It's got to be the right space. Okay. We've got to touch on it because it is something that everybody's speaking about. I don't want to start something when there's not a lot of time, but we'll run over. It's fine. What's happening in the States? The Black Lives Matter movement, the amount of shootings, the police violence, all of that. We know what's happening there. People have seen the video on Facebook. The way we're going to discuss this and approach it, though, is this debate around Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter that's been happening on social media, where people have been saying, but why is it Black Lives Matter? Why is it not All Lives Matter? And this conversation we saw, and it was on V Entertainment a couple of days ago, Jesse Williams, after that speech at the BET Awards, it's like 20-something thousand people signing a petition saying that he's inciting hate speech. Those would probably be the same people that would say that it should be All Lives Matter versus Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Let's just get a quick take.
The problem with that is it irritates me so much when people bring up All Lives Matter, when the problem is that in this world it seems as if black lives don't matter. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's a house on fire in a neighborhood and you know you're watering the house that's not on fire because you're saying all houses matter. You know what I'm trying to say? There's a house that's on fire. Let us focus on what the problem is. You know what I mean? I feel like all lives matter is such a... It's such an... We know. Because white people are not getting shot in the street by cops. You know, it's not happening. They're not dying every day. Innocent white people or innocent whoever else is not dying every day. You know, the truth is that in America right now, innocent black people are dying, and that is why people say Black Lives Matter, because they're trying to get that point across, because clearly it seems as if people think they don't. It really annoys me, because I think we all know all lives matter. Even the Black Lives Matter movement, all it is trying to say, yo, all lives matter, but in this specific case, it's black lives that are getting shot.
You know what's really, really for me was crazy? And last week, I've sort of just shied away from engaging with, I know it's not necessarily progressive, but I've shied away with engaging with a lot of the stuff like race and all that stuff, because it's just, it makes me so angry or like so emotional that...
It's draining.
Yeah, it's very draining. Yeah. And then I get too emotional and then I just get defeated because I feel powerless, you know, about what I can do. Yeah. So I've really just, I mean, if you look at my Facebook or, so, or Twitter or anything, I've nothing. Like in the last 2 months, like just, I just
because it used to be lit.
Yeah, I'm tired. I'm too tired now. You know, and if you, for me, the craziest thing, I guess the scariest thing is that you aren't like, as a black person in America, whether you're living in an urban area or a rural area, right? It doesn't actually matter. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or not. Do you remember that NBA player last year who got wrestled down by like six cops and eventually he won? I mean, they almost ended his career.
Yeah.
Right? That's an NBA player. That's a famous professional sports person. Rich as fuck. Right? Yeah. And if he can be wrestled down by cops.
Yeah.
Unarmed.
Yeah.
Right? Unarmed, but apparently provoking them, then what chance does a Bob who lives in the Midwest, who, you know what I mean, who's driving with a broken taillight, like what chance does he have?
Bro.
No chance whatsoever. So for me, I just get so frustrated because it's like people can't, they just simply cannot put themselves in other people's shoes. It's like, I don't necessarily have to experience, you know what I mean? I have no idea what it's like to be Jewish or to be white or whatever, whatever. But I can't speak for you. And I can't speak for your lived experience. If you say to me, I get, you know, I'm prejudiced when I go to a certain establishment, I can't be like, oh, well, I also get prejudiced as a black person. What I'm doing is disregarding your lived experience.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I'm
saying.
And
that's what just makes me so angry. And that's why I don't engage with it anymore, because like, these people refuse to just acknowledge that this shit is happening and that they are part of the problem.
Exactly.
By not acknowledging that it's happening, you are part of the problem.
Bro, you're no different. Like for me, if somebody says Black Lives Matter, or you attack a Black Lives Matter movement or hashtag or whatever it is with All Lives Matter, you are no different to the guys that are pulling the trigger and killing these people on the streets, bro. You're no different because you are not forming part of any solution.
Yeah.
You're trying to play. You're trying to protect some sort of, I don't know what it actually is. It's like, it's, you know what it almost tells me. If you say that to me, All Lives Matter, after someone says to you Black Lives Matter, it's almost like you don't think Black Lives Matter. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious what's happening. Like I can't even understand. Like just like Shmang says, I don't have the lived experience of being a black person because I'm a white person, but I can identify with when something is completely wrong, and when specifically if my own is part of that problem, that makes the responsibility on my shoulders, I feel, massive, because you're going to fuck it up for all of us, you fucking idiots. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. You morons, what are you, you know, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
Look, there was more outrage. No jokes. There was more outrage on my social media feed on all platforms when that gorilla got shot. You know, when they took down the gorilla.
Even the lion.
There was way more than when two unarmed black men were killed in broad daylight. My thing is, this is happening in broad daylight and it's being filmed. So like, it's gotten to that level where clearly the cops know that the system is on their side and there's nothing you can do about it.
Bro, it actually, when I watched that video of that dude that got shot when he was lying on the ground, bro, I got sick.
Yeah, I couldn't tell my breakfast.
It ruined my whole day. I cannot understand how you can be so inhumane. Who are you? What kind of a... What are you?
Dude.
You can't be a human being acting like that. There's no ways, bro. There's no ways you can be considered a human being if you do that. No ways, bro.
I read an interview. I think it was Complex Magazine, if I'm not mistaken. It was either Nia Long or Taraji P, or both, who... Nia Long has now taken her son out of USC. I think it was like first year or freshman at the time.
Yeah.
And she sent him now to Morehouse, which is like an all-black college. And she was just like... She just thinks that she feels like he'll be safer there.
Jeez.
Right? And I'm talking about the offspring of a famous Hollywood actress. You know what I mean? These are people who are privileged. And that's the point I'm getting at, is that it's gotten to a level. I mean, do you remember that movie? I think Terrence Howard was in it. And then they do some racial profile. And I can't remember what it's called. And they that is
Crash.
Like Crash. Yeah. Crash. Perfect example.
Thanks, producer Kat.
Yeah, perfect example of, it doesn't matter about your socioeconomic status in society in America. It's a matter of, are you black or white? That dude that killed 11 people in church, or however many people in church, in cold blood during the day whilst they were worshipping, somehow, some way, they managed to disarm that dude.
Bro, and they walked that white boy.
Any violence.
Dog.
And they walked, that guy killed people. So, you know what? Let's not even get into it. It just makes me just too angry.
It makes me upset too. But you know what it also does, though? It kind of makes me feel like this is the reality of this world we live in. This world is it's a broken place, I think. It's a seriously broken place, you know, with shit like this that happens. But the reality is that we live in this world. Yeah. Us people who don't act like that. Us people who don't think like these morons, who want justice and who want a better place to live. We also live here. So, you know, these people that make their points so final, they put their beliefs out there so radically that they kill other people. They're so fucking malicious. Us who are completely opposite to that, we kind of timid, we kind of do what you and me do. We get sick, we get tired, we just hibernate and we just pray that, you know, we make it through this life. You know, but maybe that's not good enough. Maybe the whole world needs to start. The people that think differently to these kind of people need to stand up and do something more. Or, yeah. I don't know what to do, but all I feel like is that, you know, the good people seem to be almost walked over by the people with bad intentions and bad hearts and bad minds and corrupt people. Why is it like that? Why does it seem like the good always comes second?
Dude, can I tell you something? I probably got over this fear. Maybe it's been maybe just under a year, but. I was genuinely, which is, I know it's quite crazy, but I was genuinely scared of cops here in South Africa as well. Just as a young black man.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just as scared. I mean, I don't think you will get killed. You know what I mean? Here, it's not so much like racial profiling. But I'm telling you, if you're a young black man, the stance from a police officer is that you've done something wrong first before, you know what I mean? Before anything. So if someone pulls you over, it's like, oh gosh, so how many drinks have you had? Or where are you going? Or, you know what I mean? Which has got nothing to do with them. Have I violated any laws? No? Then please, can I be on my way? But I feel way more chilled when I'm driving with my white friends. Way more chilled. Mm. And that's crazy.
That's crazy.
In our own country.
That's mad. Yeah. That's insane.
And I'm telling you now, that's like, if you speak to a majority of young black men,
feel the same way.
They'll feel the same way.
Damn, bro.
Yeah.
It's fucking mad, bro.
Like, this militarization of police officers, law enforcement officers, the world over, I think it's just crazy, crazy, crazy.
Jeez, bro. I don't know, man. It's a lot, bro. Yeah. It's a lot, man.
It's a lot. But it is the most important conversation to have.
Yeah. Of course.
Because I think the thing is that everyone has opinions on this. Everyone has viewpoints. And very often people don't express their viewpoints, or there isn't a constructive place to express viewpoints. Not that this, I mean, I don't even know if this conversation would have been constructive. I don't know if this is, these past 20 minutes have made a positive impact in the world. I don't know. Maybe someone listened to it and readjusted their perception, and that would, you know, imply that it was a positive thing. It possibly even impacted just the three of us speaking about it in a positive way and started to shift an opinion or shape an opinion. Because the reality is that we all have prejudices towards people. Mm. Like I always say, if I see someone in a wheelchair, I immediately have thoughts about that person. I feel sorry for them. They haven't said a word to me yet.
Mm.
We all have prejudices. We always judge people when they walk into a room based on something. And to rewrite that is like, it requires a hell of a lot of work for me to get to a point where I'm not going to judge someone in a wheelchair and treat them like I would anybody else. That's a lot. I could pay lip service and say whatever. Mm. But as people, there's a lot of work that we have to do on ourselves, like a hell of a lot.
There is, man.
The thing that frustrates me about this, taking Black Lives Matter and saying, but all lives matter, is that just allow people to express something before jumping on it and saying, no, 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 but you have it wrong. Because all it says is that you don't admit that there is a problem. You think that there is nothing going on. Yeah. You're not willing to say, and this is the most obvious thing to me, that there is stuff in the world that's wrong. Anyone who says that is saying that the world is actually, everything is fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fine. People there's a refugee crisis. There's millions of refugees that don't have access to a country. There's countries that are closing their doors to them. There's people that literally, that really have no food. Like, to adopt the attitude that the world is okay, all lives, like, just allow, if people have something that they want to express, that they need to express, just allow people to say that there is a refugee crisis, or say that there is a crisis in America. Don't hijack it and say, no, 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 but we all in the same boat. No, it's not true.
No.
People are not. It's the same thing as when somebody's born and someone's good looking and someone's not good looking. They're not equal. That's just the way the world is. Yeah. And you can't pretend like that it's fine.
It's fucked up. Sometimes the problem is that we think the world is as small as ours.
We all think the world is as small as ours, and we have no idea.
And we become completely ignorant. And that's why, man, like, I think if you are serious about being a human being and just, I don't even know how to phrase it, man, you gotta be a little bit more aware of what goes around in this world and what's going on, so that you can try and shape your life to at least be a better version of some of these humans that walk around on this place, because they fucking bad.
And thank you for saying that, because when I saw the Facebook Live video on my newsfeed, I chose not to watch it because I didn't want, I wasn't ready for that to happen in my day, and actually I probably should have watched it. I probably should have expanded myself in that way.
No, but Ari, you know what happens, bro. They shoot him dead on the floor, man.
Yeah, but it's maybe...
You watch him die, bro.
But maybe that's what people need. People need to be stretched, because otherwise it is this live in your own world. And
maybe.
I think for me, the one thing that I really just want to stress is that this isn't something that's going to go away anytime soon. So it shouldn't ever be like it's a trending topic for us to talk about now. You know what I mean? This whole movement, Black Lives Matter, I know that in the States or parts of the States, they've really tried to keep it going and tried to be vocal and with their campaigns and stuff like that. I think it should be part of our general conversation.
Yes.
And I say our, I'm also talking about the global community. So if it's in America and if it's a huge issue, it should be part of our conversation every single day. The same way when apartheid was wrong here in South Africa, it became part of our conversation every single day until finally we defeated it.
Yeah.
It had to happen.
It has to, bro.
And this also needs to happen. You know what I mean? Absolutely. But you need bold leadership. You don't need fuckheads like Trump saying, no, man, people are free to go and buy as many guns as they want. No, man, but these are loyal servants to the people who are protecting us. You know, don't say that. Don't say that.
Get out
acknowledge
here,
acknowledge that there's something wrong, and then let's find ways of fixing it. That's it.
You know, it's so true. You know, I just want to add this, man, is that, you know what, this whole thing's done, bro. I think over the last year and a half, 2 years even, I've just started becoming, like, it's weird to say this, but I've started becoming, like, bitter, almost bitter, but, like, judgmental and weird about white people. I feel that way, bro. Today in the gym, I caught myself. I just stopped myself from being like that, because I was in the gym this morning and I was just looking around and I was surrounded by a lot of white males, right?
Yeah.
And already I was like, okay, I'm in Bryanston. I know what area I'm in. This is obviously a wealthy area. But, and then my train of thought started going, looking at a guy. I was watching a guy for about a minute and thinking to myself, I wonder what this guy thinks of black people. I wonder how he views this world. I wonder how he... And then I started... My angle was like, I think he's racist. Just imagine, bro. I don't even know this guy.
Yeah.
But this is what it started to do in my mind. And that's not a healthy thing, bro.
No,
and that's not a healthy thing. And I stopped myself from doing that. And I'm being honest with you. I started feeling upset. And I shouldn't, because I don't even know him, bro. I don't even know any of them. But that's what this whole thing is done, because when I go on social media, I see tons of ignorance, and I see people saying all lives matter, and I see people ignoring the fact that there's problems in this world, and I think subconsciously it's really started to fuck with me, and that's what the result was. And it upset me that I even started thinking like that.
But at least you're thinking about it, and you're conscious of these things and your surroundings and your interactions with different people from different backgrounds. I think that's the most important thing for me, you know.
Yeah.
I get frustrated very often because I'll say something and then I'll get a response from, you know, maybe a school friend or whatever. It'd be like, well, no, but Spangs, you went to this and this school, Schmangs, you went to varsity, Schmangs, you know, yeah. I grew up in the same neighborhood as you, and then I just get frustrated, you know. So I think it's more than anything, it's important for us to interact with people from different backgrounds, just to understand other people's lived experiences. And no one's asking for an apology, no one's asking for your sympathy. What people are asking is for you to just understand and be conscious of the fact that shit is not going right, and you are part of the problem if you don't recognize that, or you're at least helping us find the answers and the solution.
Well, I mean, there's two ways to, you know, there's two ways to skin a cat. The goal is to skin the cat, but you can do it in different ways. So if you know, I can't ever jump into a crowd with black guys and chant with black guys because I am not a black person. But I can, you know what I'm trying to say? That's almost like what you're saying. You're not looking for sympathy. You're not looking for a hand. You're just looking for a common consciousness that's trying to drive towards some sort of justice. So if I believe in the same movement or the same cause, there's ways I can do it without, you know, without almost patronizing or whatever to people that are actually suffering it. So I, you know, as white, that's why I say as a white man, I feel like it's my responsibility to call out other white people that I feel are ignorant to these things and not doing it from an angle of how a black person would call out a white person, but doing it as, yo, bro, what are you saying? Like, do you understand, you know, what you're putting out there? Do you even understand what's going on?
Yeah.
And try and, you know, try and educate, you know, my own, in a sense, on how we can form common goals. Yeah. Perhaps that's a quicker way of getting to a point. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a conversation we've consistently had since the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And will continue to have. Final thoughts.
Yeah, I think I literally just, I gave mine, man. I gave mine. Don't take away someone's opinion, whether it's someone's opinion or someone's stance or someone's lived experience, don't take away from that by, you know, enforcing yours. Don't. Mm-hmm. You're disempowering that person, because all they're trying to do, and this goes regardless of race or creed or or gender or whatever, it's a case of don't take away from someone else's lived experience, especially if it's a negative one, and offer yours, because that's not what they want.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with Schmangs 100%. And I think, you know, honestly, these kind of conversations can be heavier on our hearts, but they're so important. They're so important to have. You know, they it's uncomfortable, but that's what's supposed to happen, because maybe this comfortable world we've been living in is obviously full of problems. And I think us as people need to start becoming more uncomfortable all the time and having uncomfortable conversations all the time, so that eventually what we thought was uncomfortable becomes comfortable and becomes the norm, which is a better place to live in than what it is right now. So have as many uncomfortable conversations as you can. Get into as many, you know, civil debates as you possibly can. But do it with the intentions of learning and not just speaking.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really valid point. You see, the reality is that if you consistently avoid having uncomfortable conversations, all that's going to happen in the world is that people are going to group themselves, and this group believes that, and that group believes that, and that group believes that. The world will just become more and more divided. And the reality is that no one will really learn anything, because everyone will just assimilate with like-minded people, which doesn't progress the evolution of people in any way at all. You only really learn more and do more by engaging with people who think differently to you. And that's across the board. You can't land up in a world where, like, everyone's in classes and has the same theme and the same vibe and the same everything. That's just dumb.
It's true.
All right, that there is a gentleman's roundtable. It's at Schmangs.
Yeah, so at Schmangs on Twitter, Mangi _ Schmangs on Instagram and Snapchat.
There you go.
_V_ the everything on everything.
Snapchat as well.
Nah, Snapchat's won the poet still.
Good one. All right, that there is the GRT. It certainly gave me something to think about. Thanks, guys.
Shop.
Richard, are we on track with the financial pack for my presentation to the board next week?
Well, hopefully. The team's very short-staffed, and it's taking such a long time to find a suitable financial manager for the division. We're way behind on all our forecasts and reporting.
Why don't you speak to the finance team? They're a consultancy that can help you with an experienced interim financial manager. You can have somebody to help you almost immediately. They'll hit the ground running with no long-term contracts and no upfront placement fees.
go to thefinanceteam.co.za.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Kelman on cliffcentral.com.